Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we just pull the pastor aside and we just ask him, hey, what would you go into if you had an extra 10 minutes or so? Could be an extra point, could be something that got cut, could be, maybe a slight rabbit trail that was tangentially related to it. So Raphael is who I'm sitting here with, and yep. My name is Tyler. So Raphael.
Yeah.
What would you have said or talked about if you had an extra 10 minutes or so?
Just maybe like really, say the same thing, but probably kind of push it a little bit more. I think the main point I was pushing is that center stage is always God's and not ours. And then so as a church, when we really are looking at like, what is the church meant to be about? This whole sermon was, and maybe set of sermons even the next couple of weeks, is really designed to recalibrate us. Mm-hmm. Recalibrate us to really kind of bring us back to the main reason we exist as a church. So that like now we can now be able to say, if God is center stage, if everything is driving to, because like when you're looking at Romans chapter 11 verse 36, it actually just says, that all things are from him, meaning that he's the source of all things, he's the creator, the originator, he's the source of even mm-hmm. our own salvation. All things are mm-hmm. from him. So who I am and what I have and everything comes from him, and then they are all through him, meaning that he's the sustainer. He is the medium of all things. He keeps, order in the created existence, right? And he is the one who accomplishes salvation in between. He puts everything into effect, and he is the one who everything exists through him mm-hmm. and is sustained through him. And then at the same time, like he is the end of all things. He's the goal of all things. And there's nothing, basically, like everything is moving to the direction which he intends it to. Mm-hmm. So if you now zoom out and you're looking and you're saying, okay, so what is God about? And there's six words in there. Mm-hmm. Which is actually like after, which basically just shows you every single thing that happens. Romans 11:36 is the summary of coming from Romans chapter 1 all the way to chapter 11. In theology, we say doxology leads mm-hmm. to actually, theology leads to doxology. That like knowing about God needs to lead to the glory of God, to glorifying God, praising God. And you see that also like in Ephesians mm-hmm. chapter 1, where it says that the Father adopts us to the praise of his glory. The Son redeems us to the praise of his glory. The Spirit seals us to the praise of his glory. So everything exists for the glory of God. So the church then should be about the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So us as a church, we need to be about the glory of God, where at the end of the day, center stage is always God's, not ours. But what I was going to kind of maybe just kind of go into a little bit more was actually like just like maybe point number one would be like if everything is for God's glory. I pointed out like how in Psalm 23, It says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, he leads me into green pastures. He makes me lie down, and then he restores my soul, and all those things. But it says that, like, for his name's sake, which is actually for his glory. If you look at, like, I was going to, I mentioned it a little bit, but I really want to press this a little bit in, where that empowers our prayer lives. And the fact that, like, you know, you and your wife, Tyler, right now are pregnant, right? Can you imagine, let's say it's a little boy, because you guys are just complicated like that.
maybe it's a little boy.
Oh, it's a little girl. You know, I could find out for you guys, but you don't want to yet. So this happened to me, by the way, where my son came to me. There was one day Judah, literally, like, his shoes were hurting him. And, like, he's growing like a weed, man. Like, he's just, like, he's growing so fast, his feet are growing. So, and, you know, and he, you could tell he was stressed out about something. But, like, his main thing was that, like, his feet were hurting. Like, he needed new shoes. And so instead of just rocking up to me and telling me he needs new shoes, he starts crying. He starts actually, I was like, what do you need? And he's like, I need new shoes, Dada. And I was like, son, you don't have to cry in order to get new shoes. Like, just know that it gives me delight to provide for you. It is my glory to take care of you. Because if anyone sees you with a shoe, he was actually walking with this shoe. He had been playing, like, he's rough on shoes. He had been playing, and so there was a toe that was showing out. Like, and I was like, if people see you with that toe hanging out, obviously it says more about me than it says about you.
Yeah.
Which is actually what, like, if everything exists for the glory of God, it says more about God that he provides for us than us. That just changes everything. It changes my boldness when I'm praying for God to provide for my family. Like, if I would say my family, then all of a sudden, like, if, you know, so prayer-wise, I've had to realize God is more interested in providing for me than, and my family, than I am interested in providing for me and my family. Right? So that's important. So prayer-wise, if everything exists for his glory and he's the sustainer, then it just empowers prayer, where I'm now asking him for something that he's already wanting to what? To provide. And then the second thing that I was also going to mention was maybe the question that, like, maybe I knew was kind of like stewing in people's minds was, okay, so what does it look like for God to be glorified in my home? What does it look like for me if I'm a teenager, for me to live for the glory of God? What does it mean to, that's actually like where I have a tattoo of this, like Spurgeon kind of gave me this phrase in his book, Lectures to My Students. He has a phrase called Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam. It's a Latin phrase. Do what best glorifies God. Like, at every single, like, crossroads where you have to make a decision on what does it look like. Like, let's say you and your wife, like, in relating to your wife, what best glorifies God? Like, right, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then really at the end of the day, okay, loving my wife best glorifies God. What else does that, having humility, the humility of Christ, he died and he did. Well, that's what best glorifies God. What about wives? Submit to your husbands. Like, that best glorifies God. What does that look like? That also just kind of like, and then obviously, like, if you pull back to verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submitting to one another, meaning that humility needs to be like the what you call it, the envelope of everything. The humility of Christ, have this same mind. So it means that, like, okay, we ask ourselves, and then what does it look like? Ephesians is going to actually help us as well. Like, you know, as a father to your sons, do not what? your father, your mother, do not provoke your children to anger. Mm-hmm. You know, nurture them, love them, bring them up to actually what? In the instruction of the Lord. That's what best glorifies God. And then also as well, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to actually be reading the scriptures and asking, what is it that glorifies God, that pleases God?
Mm-hmm.
And then come out and then be able to say, okay, like now in every decision, whether it's how I treat employees, because
mm-hmm.
after that in Ephesians, like right after it talks about fathers not overwhelming their sons, children obeying their parents, and it actually talks about like, hey, if you are working in that context to a slave, obey your masters,
mm-hmm.
but then masters, know that you also have a master in heaven. So treat your actually what?
Mm-hmm.
Those that work for you with respect and honor and dignity and stuff. So what best glorifies God should actually then be a question every single place. Aware, now I'm going to throw another Latin phrase, aware that we live our lives coram Deo.
Mm-hmm.
Under the side of God. Every single part of our lives. You can hide your life from me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you can be all cleaned up at church and looking spiffy and all that stuff, wearing your Sperry's. You know, I'm rhyming here.
You're going to start like freestyling on me now in the middle of a podcast?
Yeah. But at the end of the day, God's sight is even there in your bedroom, in mm-hmm. your house. What best glorifies God even there?
Yeah.
That's actually now what means. And then so collectively as a church, we're called to living for the glory of God. Familiarly as a household, we're meant to glorify God. And then individually, we're meant to live lives that glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
That say much of God, like that rock that I was talking about, that like, other rocks are full of themselves,
mm-hmm.
but this rock that we mentioned in our sermon, the window rock,
mm-hmm.
at least you can see through it. Can people see through you? Can your wife see through you and see the love of Christ?
Yeah.
Right? Can your child look through you and see the love of Christ? What is it that best glorifies God in any situation, in every situation? So that's really mm-hmm. what I would have said, and I've said it, and I rest my case. Yeah.
So the one question I wanted to ask you, and it's kind of a question before the question that you posed.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time in the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I brought it up last night with home group.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we talk about this. It's a buzzword in the church.
Yeah.
What is glory?
Yeah.
Because, like, good. You know, if you can't define what glory is, you don't know how to glorify God.
Yeah.
So, I'll let you define that, and I'll throw in my own little 2 cents later.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, glory has a, like, maybe at least, like, let me kind of give you, glory in the Old Testament is weight.
Okay.
Like, right, it's just weight. Like, it's almost like a, like, you take a scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually scales, what do? You put weight on this side and you put weight on this side.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were trying to do is to try to get the scales what?
Mm-hmm.
To be actually balanced.
Yeah.
Right, to be balanced. But, like, glory means that, like, if we're saying glory, we're saying that God overweighs everything. You just like, he, mm-hmm. no matter what scale you put him on,
he's going to outweigh that. He's going to outweigh anything.
Yeah. He's going to outweigh anything. Let me bring it into today's language. It's like shareholders. Like if in a company, when you have shareholders,
mm-hmm.
if you have that shareholder, like usually we're like, if you own 51% of the shareholder, you've got bigger vote in there.
Yeah.
But if you own 100% of the shares, that means you are a sovereign power there.
Yeah.
What you say goes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's glory. Glory means that, like, for from him and to him and through him and to mm-hmm. him are all things. He's at the beginning, in the middle, and then at the mm-hmm. end, everything is all about him. So therefore, glory means weight. Glory means that, like, so it means he outshines everything. Mm-hmm. He eclipses everything. Yeah. He is the one who basically, like, you know, whenever we say, man, he came in and he was throwing around his weight. Mm-hmm. Like, it just basically, you were saying you were throwing around his glory. Mm-hmm. He wanted you to know how powerful it is.
Yeah.
That's like flexing. That's a, but God outflexes every flexer. Basically,
yeah.
Like, you see, I'm rhyming again. So basically, like, that's what glory
yeah.
would be. So when we say that the church should be about his glory, we are saying that his opinion and his opinion and his point of view, his priorities should outweigh every other opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, the church is not a what?
Yeah.
It's not a shareholding where God has 51% of what? The shares. And then the rest mm-hmm. of it is like, yeah, I prefer this color of the carpet. I prefer only black people or only white people to come to my church.
Yeah.
I prefer, like, that's just not my kind of Christianity. That's not, no, we don't have that much of a say. Everything exists for the glory of God in the church. And that's the beauty of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in our house, like every single, and that's actually where, when you go to Corinthians, it says, whether you eat or you drink, you do it all for the glory of God. Whether it's actually even the minutest decisions, mm-hmm. everything should be for the glory of God. If it doesn't glorify God,
mm-hmm.
then don't do it.
Yeah.
That's really at the end of the day. If, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so would you say then that, you know, like as we are, you know, I'm becoming a parent in November.
Yeah.
Hopefully in November. it might be October, you know, I don't know. But still, like, as I start to become a parent and I start to think about what it means to glorify God in my own household,
mm-hmm.
And bringing up this child,
yeah,
would it be accurate to say that to glorify God is to act within our own human boundaries to accurately reflect God?
Yeah,
that's my Kilnerian.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Thought coming
yeah.
out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Where glorifying God as it relates to us as humans, because we're told to glorify God, but
mm-hmm.
we're not necessarily like told explicitly what does that mean.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we take like the whole Bible into perspective, it's like no, it seems like it's more. You're supposed to be reflecting Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. if you're accurately reflecting Jesus, you are accurately glorifying God.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day, which is actually like, at the end of the day, like you, if you're going to go to Image and Destiny, which is Kilner's book, it talks more about like, so we are created in the
mm-hmm.
image of God. And so we have this intrinsic glory.
Yeah.
That intrinsic glory, that actually then, like, though the image is not diminished, but something happens with sin.
Yeah.
Sin does bring some brokenness
yeah.
there and all that. And then so Jesus now,
mm-hmm.
who is the perfect image of the invisible God,
mm-hmm.
he is the image of God who is not tainted by sin. And so Jesus reconciles us to God.
Mm-hmm.
And once he reconciles us to God, we now, Romans 8:29, are being conformed to the image of his son
mm-hmm.
in such a way that like now to glorify God, which is now what, and I'm glad you mentioned this, which is why we ended it that way. We
mm-hmm.
exist to extend the glory of God by making disciples.
Yeah.
That the more we look like Jesus, we follow Jesus, we wrap our lives around Jesus and what he would do
mm-hmm.
if he was here in flesh and follow him and be his disciples, then that's the best thing. In fact,
mm-hmm.
that's the best thing that your neighbor needs, that your wife needs, that your child needs in order for them to see a glimpse of an image of God,
mm-hmm.
of a glimpse of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's brilliant. That's good.
Because when I was like reflecting on like in the middle of the sermon, I like kind of had the mission statement kind of pulled up on my, because I can see the sermon schedule.
Yeah.
Like I could see like, you know, the mission statement that was kind of like in encapsulated in the Excel sheet. Mm. So I'm like, okay, had that like in my head, like, you know, we exist to extend the glory of God by making disciples. So I'm like, okay, so does making disciples, is that what it means to glorify God?
Mm.
Because if we're all God's children and trying to bring humanity back to Christ.
Yeah.
That would then be, you know, kind of like at least a glimpse.
Because each
person is different. Mm-hmm. Like you're different than mm-hmm. I am. And then, you know, when we come together, you get a fuller picture of what it means or what God's like.
Because you
do something mm-hmm. that is really, really glorifying to God that I can't do, but then there's something else that I might be able to do that you're not able to mm-hmm. do, and then we get a little puzzle piece.
Yeah. And which is actually now like where if you really kind of go down, what was it, Ephesians 3:10, so that God's multifaceted wisdom
mm-hmm.
may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heaven. That God, when he is being glorified, there is almost like through the church this multifaceted wisdom
mm-hmm.
that's just shown all around. So, yeah, so a disciple who has now been restored like through Christ now begins to actually like, because at the end of the day, Christ did nothing but glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
So, so you're right. That's awesome.
There was so much there that I was just like, yeah, this is, I'm liking this a lot.
Yeah. Of which it could be a couple of more messages on just
it
that.
Could be. It could be.
But yeah, you're right. And I'm glad you mentioned that.
That's where, just going to leave it there. Not even going to go down any further.
But, you know, the last thing I was going to mention was, and which is, we spent some time unpacking this in our home group.
Mm-hmm.
Really just like looking at like that Piper quote, John Piper.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we are most satisfied when God is most glorified. That
mm-hmm.
everybody is just so relieved. When the image of God, when we reflect Christ all around us,
mm-hmm.
we are more satisfied when he is glorified, when we truly follow Jesus and we follow Jesus, all of a sudden, that's where our satisfaction is at. That's where even like, because like the thing about it is that like, if I was made in the image of God, what literally like makes God happy is actually makes me happy as well, because I was cut from that same cloth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so I can go to every other avenue trying to look for satisfaction, but it's only in God.
Mm-hmm.
Because just to say like Augustine would say, he says, you made us for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. It's like, it's just basically like that square
mm-hmm.
is not going to rest as long as it's bumping against a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's going to rest when it actually now sits on a what? On a squared template, like mm-hmm. where it can actually be able to fit. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's that. So.
Yeah, no, that's really good. This was a really good discussion, and I hope this clears up some like, you know, questions that maybe other people had about, what does it mean to glorify God,
mm-hmm.
as we kind of work to live out the mission of City Church.
Mm.
Thank you for that. And guys, I just want to remember you, this is not a replacement for the sermon. This is just a supplement to it. Think about it as more of like a vitamin. Something to help further you along going from milk to solid food, and continuing your sanctification journey and things like that. So if you're in the area and you listen to this, please come check us out. We'd love to see you. Let us know that you heard this, and Yeah, we'd love to see you. And if you have a church home, that's awesome. And if you don't, we'd love to be that for you. So yeah, Raphael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this has been More Than That, guys. God bless.
God bless.